Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we're going to be talking about CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates. If you don't know about this terrific program, today you'll find out. And if you do know, you're going to probably learn a little bit more. CASA's annual 19th annual celebration is happening on Thursday, March 9th at the Bridgewater Bistro. We'll talk about that today. We'll talk about a brand new volunteer training in April. And in the studio today, I have Julia Mabry. Julia is the executive director of Clatsop CASA. Hi, Julia.
Hi, happy to be here.
Very glad to have you in the studio today. I also have fabulous volunteers who have been CASAs for 6 years. I have Wendy Osborne and Ted Osborne in the studio. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Ted. Hi, nice to be here.
Very happy to have you all. Before we talk about CASA, let's learn a little bit about each of you, please. Julia, please tell the listening audience about yourself.
Well, I've been in this community for now almost 20 years. I love the Oregon coast, and Astoria is definitely a special place. I moved here when my children were really young, and it was closer to grandparents, and I'm still here.
Where did you come from before?
I went to graduate school in Alaska, so that was immediately before here. I'm initially originally from Germany.
And so you went to graduate school in Alaska.
Yes.
And then you've been the executive director of CASA for a couple of years now?
Yeah, just over a year.
Oh, just over a year. Okay, excellent. Well, they're very fortunate to have you at the helm, and you're enjoying it.
I am. Yes, indeed.
Good. Wonderful. And Wendy, please tell the listening audience about yourself.
Well, Ted and I moved here about 8 years ago, and I was interested in finding that we both retired. I was interested in finding something to do that would involve me in the community and be useful in some way. So I went to the Alternative Gift Fair a couple of years after we moved here, and CASA was one of the groups that I learned about, and we've been doing that ever since. But basically, we just picked out this community because we'd never lived in the Northwest. And we wanted a new adventure.
And you're from Massachusetts originally?
Originally from Massachusetts, spent time in Southern California, and now we're enjoying the Northwest.
The Pacific Northwest. And yes. Your background was as an educator?
As an educator, yes, in public schools, mostly middle school librarian.
And isn't it interesting that when you went to the Alternative Gift Fair, which I think is such a terrific event, which happens right around Christmas, typically at the Liberty Theater, that's where a lot of nonprofits come together, and the community can come in and they can purchase gift certificates instead of a present for Christmas. That's the present, the gift certificate to make a donation to one of these worthy nonprofits. And there were many nonprofits there, and yet CASA spoke to your heart and became the one that you decided to volunteer with.
That's right, but it is a good chance for anyone to find out about the many different organizations that are active in Clatsop County.
Exactly, and which one resonates, right? Because this town runs on volunteers. We certainly know that.
Absolutely.
And Ted Osborne, please tell us about yourself.
Well, I am a former architect and one of fair skin persuasion, and so my dermatologist in California said that as soon as you can get out of California, please do, because it's very sunny. And so I came here for the fog and the rain, and I've been very, very happy with it. Today is a perfect day for me.
Yes. And, you know, instead of these people saying, oh, it's a gray day, it's a silver day.
It's a silver day.
It's a silver day here in Astoria. In Sylvan, Astoria, it is a silver day.
I get to keep my homely face for one more day.
Oh, excellent. Yes, indeed. So you then, when you went to the gift fair with your wife, you both decided to actually become CASA volunteers together.
I have to admit that being male, I was reluctant to go to the gift fair, but I heard much about it when she came home, and she introduced me to CASA from her viewpoint, and I was very interested about it and went to the interview to be a potential CASA. I remember being somewhat chagrined because a lot of the issues were about drug and addiction, and being one that had not had those problems, I didn't know whether I was worthy and whether I could be sympathetic to the people involved. But I've been very committed to it. We had the time. We have the interest. We have 50 years of child rearing. And it's turned out to be something that's been very rewarding for us. We've we've enjoyed and we do it together as a team.
And you've been doing it for 6 years now and continuing on. Excellent. Well, Julia, for those listeners who are not familiar with CASA, let's explain what that program is and what a CASA volunteer does.
So CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocate. That means that our volunteers are actually appointed to a child welfare child or child welfare case. And what they do is they advocate for that child's best interest. And they do it in the courts, and they do it through collaboration with the child's caseworker and the family's caseworker. What our program does is we recruit those volunteers, we train them, and we supervise them. So we are kind of the intermediary between the courts and child welfare, DHS child welfare, and the volunteers. So we supervise right now nearly 50 volunteers who advocate on behalf of youth in foster care.
And so these are young people under the age of 18 who are in the child welfare system because there is a problem with them being able to live in their current family environment.
Correct. So the Child Protective Services and investigates a situation when they have a report that a child is not safe in their home. And they bring this situation to the court if it rises to that level, and then the court decides whether the parents of this child can or cannot provide a safe home for this child at that time. And if the court decides that no, the parents cannot, and they need to do certain services, or they need to do, they need to become safe and stable parents, then the child becomes a foster child. And at that point, we get assigned as a program, and we then assign a volunteer to this child. Given that we have enough volunteers, that's always the if.
And always need more volunteers. And you've had volunteers who've been volunteers for many, many years. So that speaks to the fact that they really feel they're making a difference in the life of a child. So let's go through what might happen then. Let's say you, parents are in a home, whether it's a single parent or both parents. Maybe there is, as Ted referred to, there's substance abuse. There's something which leads Child Protective Services to say, this child is not going to be able to thrive in this environment, not a healthy place. Then the child either maybe goes to a grandparent or an aunt and uncle or to a foster home, and that's when then CASA steps in. And because the court system is, well, overburdened, most systems and most social service organizations are overburdened, you save this child from falling through the cracks, essentially.
That's what we hope our volunteers do, is that, first of all, it is the child welfare system is overworked, and our caseworkers have bigger caseloads than I think anyone should have. So our CASAs provide that squeaky wheel. They provide the extra set of eyes. The other part of being a CASA is that they have the unique assignment of looking out exclusively for the best interest of the child. So they get to know this one child. They don't have policies they need to adhere to. They don't have directives from us. You know, this is the outcome that we want, or this is statistically better. They really look at the needs of a particular child or a particular sibling group and say, for this child, this situation we think will be best, and this particular service needs to happen. So that's different from anybody else who's involved with this child or family, because everybody has different agendas. Our agenda is what is in this child's best interest.
And how? So you train volunteers to become CASAs, and then what are those responsibilities? Or do you want Wendy and Ted to answer that? Or
One of the responsibilities is that we have to report regularly to the court, and that comes about every 6 months. There's a court review or a citizen review board review of the case. And so we have to have our ducks in a row at that point and know what we want to say about the case, what the challenges are, and what our recommendations are for moving the case forward and what's in the best interest of the children. So we write a report, it gets submitted to the court, and then we also have to appear and speak to the case.
I think one of the luxuries that we have is that because we only have one or two or three children at any given time, and we have more time, we have a lot of time with a child, and we become the ones who really have a chance to know them best having several times more time than the DHS worker to spend on each case, and plus we are not beholden to any other agency or force, and so we go to the doctors, we go to the schools, we do visit the families and see how the parents are responding to their services that the DHS is providing. But when we report to the judge about how the child is doing, it's pretty pure information that the judge is receiving, and she takes it very well. I want to put a plug in for the program as a whole, and that CASA here in Clatsop County is very highly respected, and CASA groups from all over the state of Oregon come here to watch and to sort of see, which is a source of pride in Clatsop County. And of course, we have a wonderful children's judge here that we all love to be with. She's formidable. She has quite a presence in the court, but she is very. This is Judge Brownhill, as everybody knows, and she's wonderful to work with. Is very good with the children, and she's been part of what's helped the CASA group be as important and as valuable as they are.
Well, in a way, it sounds like a CASA volunteer is almost like a little bit of a private detective, a sleuth, looking at information, meeting with the child, and looking at information from many different sources to determine, you know, staying with the grandmother is going to be in the best interest of the child. Or, you know, the parents seem to be making some mm-hmm. changes through education, through training that they're having, or, you know, they've been to a rehab program, and so we actually think that the child would be all right back at, you know, in that home environment. So you're really a bit like private detectives.
Right. There's definitely some investigative aspect to the work of a CASA. CASAs never determine whether a child has been abused or neglected. That part is done and decided by the courts before a CASA gets involved, but they definitely investigate what is in the child's best interest? Who should the child spend more time with? Are there sibling visits happening? Are the parents making progress? Or is one parent making progress in becoming a safe and sober parent? So there's definitely some investigation. Sometimes it helps to get an idea of what a CASA is not, to better understand what a CASA is. So a CASA is not a mentor for the child because we only get involved for a very limited time. We're involved only during the time that the child is in foster care, and it is almost always in the child's best interest to make that a short stint. So we don't maintain a relationship with these children beyond their
helping them
in foster
be placed.
Care.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so it's a limited period of time, and that's when the CASAs are so effective in helping determine then the next step for this child.
Correct. Yes,
in the system, and we're going to talk a little bit about training. There's a CASA volunteer training coming up, actually April 5th, and this is a free training through the college. Correct?
It is. Yeah, anybody can register for the class. We prefer that they give us a call, and we do a little pre-training interview to feel each other out whether CASA is right for them and they're right for us. But the class itself is free to anyone, and taking the class doesn't mean that you're going to be a CASA. It just means that you learn more about your community and about the child welfare system in the community.
It sounds like that would be a rewarding and important class to take no matter what, whether you thought that this was appealing to you or not. And anyone over the age of 18 can be a CASA. Is that my understanding?
Yes.
Okay. So, and these are, it's a 6-week class, so it's every Wednesday for 6 weeks, beginning April 5th at the college.
Right. It's Wednesday evenings. That seems to be the time that works best for people, 6 to 9. That's the in-person component of the class. There's also an online portion of the class, which the students can do at their own time. They have assignments every week that they're expected to complete online. There's some discussion and conversation happening online. We try to cram a lot of information into a very short period of time. So there are some online components as well.
Well, what I really think is important is not only if you're a CASA volunteer, are you making positive difference in the life of a child who could fall through the cracks. You're also stretching yourself. You're learning new skills. You're learning how our judicial system works. You're learning so many things that really enrich and enhance you as a person, too. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we're talking about CASA. It is a nonprofit 501c3 organization which has been in existence in Clatsop County for 19 years. Court-appointed special advocates help children who find themselves in the child welfare system for a short period of time to determine what is in their best interest. CASA is having their 19th annual celebration at the Bridgewater Bistro on Thursday, March 9th from 6 to 9 p.m. There are still tickets available, limited tickets available, and you can go to the CASA website. It's clatsop-casa.org. Today in the studio, I have Julia Mabry. Julia is the executive director of CASA. I also have volunteers, Wendy and Ted Osborne, who have been volunteers for 6 years. And Wendy, can you please tell the listening audience a little bit about what is so rewarding for you? Why you continue to be a CASA, and what might be appealing to those people listening who are not sure it was, would this be something good for them?
Well, I do like the investigatory part. I also like getting down on the floor and playing with these little kids. We play board games with the teenagers. We get to know them on a casual basis. We're not trying to quiz the kids so much as to just
observe
and be friends with them. And then we talk with foster parents, we talk with grandparents, whatever, to help decide what we want to recommend as the best. I think one thing is that because we don't have an agency agenda, we can look for alternatives that might not be the expected route to go. And if we can make our case, then the judge may choose that alternative.
Ted, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, we were trying to count up, and we have had the opportunity to work with 16 children so far. And they've ranged from newborn to 18-year-old. And so each of those children have sort of required different parts of our capability and our interest and been stimulating in different ways for us. Every time we sort of get a little overwhelmed by a case and we think, well, oh man, can we do this forever? Then we get a new case, a case of totally different challenges, and we get excited about it again. So we're pretty much in here for life, I think, on this. the other thing that's really interesting is having an opportunity to work together as a team. I think quite honestly, it's done quite a bit for us personally, because we have so much opportunity to talk about these children amongst between ourselves because of the chance we're working on it together. And it's just given us a lot of chance to talk about things that we might otherwise wouldn't. And it's brought us even closer together. So I think the benefits have been to all these children and certainly to the parents of the children, but we've enjoyed great benefits from it ourselves.
Wow, thank you. Well said. I can see that, actually. You all are beaming. And I know that we've talked about the fact that, you know, a lot of this is substance abuse. You're obviously, CASA, there are many agencies involved when you have something like that, because there is a heroin. Unfortunately, we have a real problem with heroin in Oregon right now, right?
We do. Heroin is a problem all over the nation. Opioid addictions overall are a big problem in Clatsop County, as is meth addiction. Other causes why children may enter foster care are mental health problems on the parts of the parents, interpersonal violence, domestic violence in the home. It's extraordinarily traumatizing to children to witness their loved one, their mom or dad, being hurt. So that is definitely a cause for concern and can be a cause for removing a child from that home. So those are the three main reasons why a child may be removed from the home. More often than not, it's not a single one of them, but it's two or maybe three. It's often a combination of factors.
And what is, I know, is amazing. I know we're having to deal with these problems on so many different levels in many different ways, but is that if children have someone who cares about them, if they, you know, especially you have a CASA who is really there and they sense and know that that person is caring about them, that children can be resilient. And if they have resources and they have someone who cares about them, it can make all the difference in their lives, for their entire lives.
Absolutely. And the same is true for the parents. The parents that these children are removed from are often endure trauma themselves, and they need time to heal and they need support to heal. And the vast majority want to parent. They love their children. And if at all possible, we want them to parent their children because the children love their parents. So that is definitely the best possible outcome. If a parent, for example, has problems with substance abuse, to get them the services that they need so that they can become clean and sober and available to parent their child.
Yes, in a way, then it's like the Chinese character of crisis is also opportunity. So that's what happens. So a way to celebrate the differences that CASA has made in the lives of these children is having this annual CASA celebration. So you want to talk to us a little bit about what's going to happen at the Bridgewater Bistro on Thursday, March 9th.
Yeah, so it has a dual purpose for us. We celebrate the amazing work that our CASAs do because they give of their free time to help a child to make a difference in one life. And it's also a way for us to raise money so that we can run our program, because we are largely funded by individual donations, business donations, and grants.
And so, excuse me, yes, Ted.
I was just going to say the gala is fun for us as volunteers, too, because generally we know that there are another 40 or 50 of us out there, but there aren't times when we get together all together to sort of see each other and enjoy the fact that we're all doing this. We're sort of, as we're doing case by case, we're sort of individual contractors working hard on cases, but we don't know the others are out there having similar experiences concurrently. When we get together, we can't talk about each other's cases, but we can talk about the fun that we're having or the anxieties that we're having over them.
Right, exactly. So it's a great chance for you all to then really connect with these other causes. And that's happening Thursday, March 9th from 6 to 9 p.m. Again, you can get tickets online, and there are going to be gourmet small plates, beverages, music, and there's a big dessert auction.
Yeah, we have many people in the community that make desserts for us or that donate desserts through their restaurants and bakeries. And there's an auction. It's always lively where people tables bid to be the first person to go to the dessert buffet and pick the fanciest, best-looking dessert. So that's our auction, and it's always delicious.
And lots of chocolate.
Lots of chocolate.
Love chocolate. Gotta have chocolate. And again, people can buy tickets, and they should get them as quickly as possible, it sounds like. I know this is it's a really fun, amazing event that people love every year. So the best way to do that is to go to the klatsip-casa.org, correct?
Right, or you can call our office at 503-338-6063.
And also people can make, because you are a nonprofit 501c3, people can make donations online at the CASA website as well.
Yes.
However, going to the event is so much fun. And then that might also, help you and your husband, you and your wife, you and your grown child decide, hey, this is something we want to do. We want to do this. So we just have a few minutes left. I know that we want to mention again that the CASA volunteer training is happening April 5th. You can call the CASA office and speak with Julia. Go onto their website. But any last things that you would like the listening audience to know, Ted?
Well, I was just thinking before that Julia was talking about the degree to which the CASAs interact with the parents. It's more realize that the children that we have are anywhere from 0 to 18 years old. And so the preponderance of the children are in the sort of 2 to 5 to 6 year range. And some of them are verbal and some of them are less so. And so when you have a 1-year-old, you don't pick them very clean about what they're thinking. So you talk mostly with with their parents and others who are interacting with them and watch them and just see how they're doing. We happen to now have some older children that we're working with, and so we have long conversations with them and that we can really find out what they're thinking and what their anxieties are and what their desires are. And so we've had less contact with the folks on that case because we get the information from the children. So every case is very different and just equally stimulating.
Yes, and I think, as you said, it's stimulating. It stimulates your heart, your mind, you know, and encourages you to even employ new skills, mm-hmm. I would think, too. Wendy, any last things you'd like the Lisianis to
know? I think I would just second the excitement of a constantly changing set of responsibilities, and every case is different, and from day to day, what we have to do is different, and it's not just showing up from 3 to 4 at a particular place.
Right. And I think if, you know, folks might say, well, I'm intimidated by the court system, but what a great way to get over that intimidation.
Oh, but also the CASA staff is fantastic, and they are there to guide volunteers all the time and review reports and make sure that everybody is
yes,
on board with
right.
the same recommendations.
And what a wonderful thing, because CASA volunteers are so respected in this community and by the people they serve and welcomed. So that's a great thing. And I can see that the two of you really enjoy it. Julia, any last things you'd like the listening audience to know?
Yeah, I just want to say that the children come to the attention of child welfare due to no fault of their own. And they are all our children. We are responsible as a community for those children. And I'm so grateful for the volunteers who step up to that responsibility.
Thank you. Well said. They are all our children. And thank you so much for making a difference in these child's lives.
Well, thanks for the chance to talk about it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, as always. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's good for your body, your mind, your spirit. Focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that aren't going well. Take a break from the news and listen to the birds singing. Spring's around the corner, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for doing the best you can, for being uniquely you. You're the only one. And for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.